got to have the Lord's initial move, and that's to put faith and love in your heart. And then use it. Manifest it. Let it be clear and obvious to those around you that your trust is in God to open hearts, to give you jobs, to help your business, to help your marriage, to help you to have good health. I suffered around here for 3 weeks because I was drinking so much coffee. And the Holy Ghost had told me about 12 years ago to quit drinking the mess. So I thought I figured out a way to get around that. Instead of just drinking the coffee without any food or anything, just, you know, having your coffee break, I found out if I'd eat a sandwich or eat it or drink it with my food, it didn't bother me. I tried it. But after several years, it caught up with me. And I started hurting more and had more miseries than I had. It only took 2 days to get rid of it 12 years ago. It took 3 weeks this time. Now if I go back to it again, how long do you think it'd take? Probably take 3 years of pain and misery. You know what? I'm going to leave it alone. Boy, don't God have a time with us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Oh, Lord, I like that. That's a great and wonderful sermon in that little verse. We'll get to it just a little bit more because it is worthy of us getting down to business and looking at some of these things. Now, in 1 John, the third chapter, I want us to look at this beginning in verse 14. We know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. There's evidences of the love of God in our life. And you can't, as I said again and again, I want to repeat, you can't take somebody's big mouth. You can't take somebody's big mouth. For listen at this scripture. 1 John 3:18, I'll go back to where I started. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In deed and truth, not in old tongue and talk and testimony and braggadocio. Lord, I hate to hear this old mess about love. Just love everybody. Nobody else don't love you. I just love you. Here's some of these old preachers on radio or TV. They love you, all right. They tried to hoodoo you and get them to send you their money. Man, you need to tell me. I know what they're after. But listen here. Back to 1 John, the third chapter again, verse 14. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You're not saved. You don't have the love of God if you don't love your brother, your sister. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And then verse 16 is a great revelation on the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God. See, it's manifest. It's clear. You can look at it with the five senses. We perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives. This is unselfishness. Lay down your life for your brethren. John 15 and 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he's not talking about just necessarily going to the guillotine or taking somebody's place in the electric chair or walking in the execution chamber and taking a cyanide capsule with a death penalty on your head. That's not what he's speaking of. He's talking about giving your life. Not giving your life in death, but living. In other words, you're living for others. You're concerned about others. When you're giving to God's work, you're not giving to help that preacher. You're giving so that preacher can help somebody else. You don't want that preacher to get fat and sassy and rich. I don't want to see one rich and sassy. And I know one thing. It ain't God's way. God don't want no rich preachers. He don't need none. He's got too many now. They're aggravating rascals. They're arrogant and haughty. Contemptible. A bunch of compromisers. So he said, here we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But now listen to this. This is the nitty-gritty. This is a litmus test. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When you see your brother is in need, that brother that you're supposed to love like you do yourself. Now, the love of God will make you love your brother and your neighbor as good as you do yourself. Now, that's not as good as you love God. That's not as good as you love God. You love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Then you love your neighbor as good as you do yourself. You better quit loving yourself so much, then you won't have such an obligation to your neighbor. Woo! The more selfish you are, the more obligation you have to your neighbor. You look in the mirror and you love yourself, boy, you better love that neighbor good, or you're going to be judged an idolater with God, loving that old coot you look in the mirror and see. Well, you see him. Oh, Lord. All right, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. All right, let's go to the fourth chapter of John. Here's some more evidence of the love of God. 1 John 4, beginning in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. But if a man say, I love God, here's some more of that evidence or fruit of the love of God that we have to manifest to prove that we love him. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? You can't love an unseen God when you don't love a seen brother. Well, people like to love the unseen. They love God. You know why? Because they can't see him. They think he can't check them out, and he's checking them out all the time. Like that old boy with that ballad heard on the radio several years ago that made a phone call and he got the wrong number and he got God on the other end. And he says, oh, my Lord, said, who is this? Said, oh, Lord. He says, what was that you said, Lord? Where was I Sunday? He said, oh, Lord, said, I went fishing. He said, oh, Lordy, Lordy. He says, you said I better get in church. He said, well, Lord, you know that I worked hard those 6 days and I needed to go fishing. And I had to buy a boat and I didn't have any money to spend and all that, you know, give to God. And then he says, oh, what was that you said, Lord? You're not going to need a boat where you're going? Then when he gets to the end, his wife's kind of listening in on the phone call and says, honey, did you get the wrong number? He says, no, I believe he's got my number. You don't see him, but he sees you. 2 Chronicles. Where's that, Brother Brown? 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect after him. See, the love of God, that's the only thing that makes you perfect. Verse 18 of 1 John 4 said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. It's not talking about the love of God. Talking about the fear, irrational fears, fear of disease, fear of the devil, fear of failure. You want me to prove that? Let's turn over here to just old brother Peter's writing. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. There's an object again of your love. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Those apostles didn't contradict themselves. There's two different kinds of fear. There's a phobia fear, a spirit of fear, an irrational fear that God delivers you from. You read that in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. God sent Jesus to deliver them who all their lifetime was subject to the fear of death and were in bondage. God delivered us through Jesus Christ. When he comes into our life, he removes that fear of death, hell, and the grave. Let that old grave gape after my footsteps. I'm not going to fear it. Because even though I lay there, I've got Jesus' word that if I love him, then I'm laying there, I'm just asleep.